We start Sefer Vayikra, the book of Vayikra, the book of Leviticus, Parshas Vayikra. The first pasuk is Vayikra al Moshe v'yadaber Hashem el Elav me'ohel moed lemor. Hashem called to Moshe. I said that wrong. I caught myself there. I said it wrong. It doesn't say Hashem called to Moshe. It says, and he called to Moshe, and Hashem spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, and that actually is the cause of one question, because it omits Hashem's name. Hashem's name only appears in the second phrase. So this doesn't really read right. And he called to Moshe, and Hashem spoke to him from the tent of meeting. What is that about? It's not really a logical sentence or a proper way of expressing oneself. That's one question. The other question, you can see it right over there. And if you have the text in front of you, the last letter of the word Vayikra is written small. Very famous question is written small. And thirdly, what is the introduction of Hashem calling? We know it means Hashem calling to Moshe, but Hashem's name is missing in the sentence. But what does it mean in general that Hashem called to Moshe and then spoke to him? What is the introduction of calling to Moshe and then speaking to him? Let the pasuk simply say, Hashem spoke to Moshe, etc., etc., etc. What is the calling beforehand? So all of the commentaries talk about this. Rashi, Ramban, they both say that the concept of a kriya, of calling, is an expression of endearment, of chavivas, of endearment. Rashi says, L'chol dibros, with all of the expressions, with all of the words that Hashem spoke to Moshe, L'chol dibros, with L'chol amiros, with L'chol tzivuyim, and with all of the commandments that Hashem gave to Moshe, Kadma Kriya. He prefaced the commandments and the instructions with a kriya, which means calling out, Moshe, Moshe, Lashon Chiba. It's an expression of love and endearment. Lashon Shemalach Yashar is Mishtamshimbo. It's an expression which the angels use. As it says, Vekara Ze al Ze V'Amah, each angel called to each other and said, Kadosh, Kadosh. Fine. So the expression of kriya is an expression of endearment and love. It's like you're calling someone, Moshe, Moshe, come over here. And this actually is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that when a person wants to speak to somebody, they shouldn't just blast at the person. They shouldn't charge at the person with a loud voice. They should gently call a person, gently, Moshe, come over here. Whoever it is, come over here, please. I want to speak to you. It's a midah tov. It's a good attribute of speaking gently and softly. The Gemara says also that Hashem despises somebody who bursts into someone's house, just barges into a person's house, even if they're not necessarily trespassing. But the idea of just barging in and interrupting and bursting into conversations, bursting into spaces, other people's spaces, it's not a very derech eretz dikah way of behaving. It's not derech eretz. Person should speak gently. They should approach people gently, and that's the expression of kriya, of gentleness and chavivas and love. It's a chavivas. It's a love that Hashem is expressing to Moshe. So that's number one. That's what the Ramban says that as well. But the Ramban also says another pshat is that the Yikra Moshe is an expression of, or it's a reaction to Moshe's fear to approach the Ol Moed because of the glory of Hashem which was upon it. The Ot Scroll quotes it over here. The very first comment it says, "So great and awesome was the glory of God that covered the tabernacle, that even Moshe was afraid to enter. Consequently, God called Moshe to reassure him that the tabernacle had been built to benefit him and his people and not to exclude them." So the Ramban understands the expression of kriya, of calling, as a reaction to Moshe's fear and humility, his fear and humility, which is a big lesson as we approach holy places. You walk into a shul, similarly, you don't barge in, but also to come in with reverence, to come in with fear, humility, and reverence for the holiness of the place. That's what Vayikra means according to the Ramban. And this also explains, see, that what the Baal HaTorim explains. The Baal HaTorim says that the little aleph of the word Vayikra also denotes humility. It expresses humility, and he says that without the aleph, the word could be read as Vayikar, Vayikar. And Vayikar means to happen upon, happen upon. And this is reminiscent of how Bilam received his prophecy. Bilam was the prophet of the nations of the world, certainly not in any way holier like Moshe, but he had this phenomenal experience, an unusual experience of prophecy, which is in Parshas Balak. He was privy to a prophetic experience. That's a different topic, but he had that prophecy. But the way he had the prophecy wasn't out of endearment. It wasn't out of love. It wasn't out of that special relationship. It was Hashem happened upon him. Vayakar. Vayakar, Hashem happened upon Bilam and revealed himself for whatever reason he felt it was necessary to reveal himself to Bilam at the time. But it certainly wasn't an expression of a full-blown Nevuah prophecy, which reflects a connection, a deveikus between the prophet and Hashem. That was the nature of Bilam's prophecy. In Moshe's humility, when Moshe was writing down the Torah, Hashem's dictating him, telling him what to write down in these words. So Moshe is hesitant in his humility. He doesn't want to write down the word Vayikra, which is this expression of endearment. It reflects and illustrates the chavivas they had for each other. And Moshe's humble. He doesn't want to write that down. Let me just write down Vayikra. I don't want to take the credit. I don't want to take the credit that I have such a close relationship with you. And let me just write down Vayikra, the same expression that is used with respect to Bilam. And Hashem said, no, write it down. Just write it with a small aleph. Write it with a small aleph to be able to have that opportunity to be able to experience or at least illustrate and teach the world about humility. But you have to write the word Vayikra. People have to know our relationship and the chavivas with which I hold you. And that's how it has to be, has to be written. And even so, but you have in that in the word that humility and the chavivas and the love and the endearment that Moshe shares with Hashem. That's all in the word Vayikra and the small aleph as well. But there's a medrash at the beginning of the parasha, and the medrash is really an amazing medrash. The medrash talks about a pasuk in Chronicles, right? Everyone knows Chronicles, right? We're all familiar backwards and forwards Chronicles. Fortunately, I only became more familiar with Chronicles because of our Wednesday night Navi class. It's only because of that, because Chronicles or Divrei Hayamim is a recap of many of the stories in the rest of the Navi of the prophets. So because of that, the Medrash says, Lo nitn Divrei Hayamim ela lidaresh. Divrei Hayamim is actually designed for drushas. So many of the stories and psukim in Divrei Hayamim Chronicles are designed and are supposed to be darshaned and expounded. And therefore, whatever the simple pshat of the verses are, license is given to Darshan. License is given to Darshan in Divrei Hayamim. And then the Medrash takes a particular pasuk which describes the genealogy of a particular individual. The pasuk says, "Ve'ishto ha'yudiyah yolda as yered avi gedura," goes through a whole bunch of names. Okay, so that's what the pasuk says on the superficial level. But the Medrash says it's given for Darshaning, given for Darshaning. And the Medrash says this is our source in the verses for the 10 names of Moshe. This pasuk over here, which describes the genealogy of one individual, and there's 10 names in the pasuk, this is the source for our tradition that Moshe Rabbeinu had 10 names. There were 10 names to Moshe. And the Medrash goes through explaining, telling us about all the different names of Moshe and what the meanings of those names are. So for example, Yered is one of the names of Moshe. What does the word Yered mean? Yered is to go down, to descend, because Hashem, because Moshe brought the Torah down to the Jewish people. Brought the Torah down to the Jewish people. He was also named Avigdor. Avigdor is also one of the names of Moshe. Avigdor is a contraction of the phrase Avi Gedurim, or Avi Gedarim, the father of fences, because he made fences and protections for the Jewish people. The other name is Avi Socha. Avi Socha, Avi, the father of Socha, the father of seeing. He was the greater of all prophets, greatest of all prophets. He had the greatest vision, able to see the most. He was also named Shemaiah, Shemaiah from the word to hearing, because of his special efficacy of his prayers. So it goes through all these different names. All 10 names are mentioned, their meanings of these different names, right? And of course, Moshe is the name which sticks. That's the name which we know of, and that's the familiar name. And the Medrash says at the end of the whole thing that of all of these different names, Moshe, sorry, behold, there are 10 names. Amala HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. And Hashem said to Moshe, Chayecha, by your life, Mikol Shemesh Shenikra Lecha, by all, out of all the names which you're called by, Eini Kara Usacha, Ela B'Shem Shekara Usacha, Bisya Basparo. I'm only going to call you by the name that Bisya Basparo called you. And the name which I'm going to choose out of all the names is Moshe. As we know, that's his name, Moshe. That was the choice name. And what does the word Moshe mean? Moshe means it's based upon the fact that Bisya, the Medrash pronounces as Bisya, Moshe drew Moshe out of the water. The word Moshe, the Pasuk actually says it explicitly. When she called him Moshe, she said, "Vetikra Shmo Moshe." She called his name Moshe. V'tomen, she said, "Keep minamayim meshisihu," because from the water I drew him out. And the word meshisihu is drawing out. That contains the word Moshe, and that's Hashem's favorite name. It's his favorite name. Just as a side, there's an incredible medrash elsewhere, beginning in Bereishis, just about names. Just an amazing medrash. It says that when Hashem made Adam Arishon, so the Malachim came along to Hashem and said, "Who is this man? Who is he? Like, what's so special about him?" So he says, "Ah," he says, "his wisdom surpasses all of your wisdom." And they said, "How so?" He said, "Bring all the animals, bring all the animals." What are the names of the animals? He said to the Malachim, to the angels. And they said, "I don't know. What are the names of the animals? I don't know. We don't know what the names of the animals are." Moshe, Adam, come over here. Adam Arishon, come over here. And he named all the animals. He was able, because the name captures the essence of something. That's a classic idea. The name goes into the very spiritual DNA of the object, the person. The name captures the essence of whatever the thing is. And Moshe and Adam Arishon could name all the animals, and that's why his wisdom was so great. Then Hashem said to Moshe, "So what's your name? What's your name?" So he said, "Adam, because I come from the ground, Adama." Then he said, "What's my name?" And he said, "Adokai, because you're the master of everything." He said, "Okay, that's my name." That's what the Medrash says. It's just amazing Medrash about names, about the origin of Hashem's name, Adam Arishon's name, names of the animals, but that's where it comes from. But you know, names carry great significance. It captures the spiritual essence of whatever it is. But the name which Hashem liked out of all of the names was Moshe, because this is the name that Bisya gave to Moshe because he pulled him out of the water. As a side, another side, someone asked me this question a few weeks ago. We were speaking about the names of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, how they distinguish themselves in the Haggadah. We say that the Jewish people distinguish themselves by their dress, by their language, and by their names. So someone asked me, I think in the Haggadah class, they said, "Well, Moshe's name is Egyptian. It's Egyptian. So, you know, how do we explain that?" So the answer is not Egyptian. The Ibn Ezra on this pasuk describing his name, it says really the word Moshe is Meturgam Melashim Mitzrayim. It's the Hebrew translation from Egyptian. It's a Hebrew translation of the Egyptian word, which in Egyptian is called monios. And he says, "This is what I found in different texts, in Egyptian texts." And he says, "Ulai, perhaps Lamda Basparo Lishonenu. Maybe Basparo learned Hebrew. She learned our language, and therefore she wanted to use a Hebrew word to express what she was doing, taking him out of the water." Oshalo, she just asked someone else around, "What's the Hebrew word for me taking her out of the water?" So that's why the name is Hebrew. It's not an Egyptian name. It's a Hebrew word. It's a Jewish word. It's exactly from the pasuk, because he drew Meshisihu. She drew Moshe out of the water, and hence she called him Moshe. Therefore, it's a completely Jewish name, right? But that was his favorite name. That's Hashem's favorite name out of all of the 10 names. This is his favorite name. What's this got to do with our pasuk? The Medrash ends the whole piece by saying, in the same way as it says that she called his name Moshe, Tikra Shemo Moshe, she called his name Moshe. The Medrash links it to the beginning of our first pasuk in our parsha. So also, Vayikra El Moshe, Hashem called Moshe. So it's a twist on the expression of Yikra El Moshe. He called him Moshe. He called him Moshe. Hashem called Moshe Moshe. He called him Moshe because that was his favorite name. That's Hashem's favorite name. That's what the Medrash says. That's the explanation for why this phrase starts off the parsha, why it connects to the rest of the parsha. Maybe we'll see in a few minutes. But it's a drash on the phrase "Vayikra El Moshe." He called him Moshe. He called him Moshe because that was his favorite name. The question is, why is that the favorite name? Why is Moshe the favorite name? Why not? You know, Yared sounds like a great name, but it is his name too. And I know someone by the name of Yared as well. And he brought the Torah down to the to the Jew to the Jewish people. All the other names are great names. What's special about the word Moshe? So Mefarshim talk about it. the Sforno, for example, he says that the because it captures really, I mean, he goes to this concept of how the name identifies with the essence of the person, the spiritual essence of the person. So it captures this, you know, this mission that he had of also taking the Jewish people out of that tzaras, out of that tzaras. So the Sophronius is Moshe es Acherim, that he drew the Jewish people out of that tzaras. That was his mission. That was his mandate to save the Jewish people. So that's a reason why. The Medrash in Felk, the same Medrash which I'm reading from, even says itself another explanation. It was very interesting. The Medrash says earlier that the reason why it was so special to Hashem, this name, it says that. It says, sorry. Chaviv, Hashem said, Chaviv lefanai. The reason why he says that in general, the Medrash says, the names of Geirim, not converts' names, are very special to me. And this is predicated on the fact that Bisya was a she converted to Judaism. She became, I never knew that. She became part of it, she became a proselyte. So in keep with the idea, the precious are the names of Gerim, and not just the names that they have, but the names they give to their children. Names of Gerim are very special, as special as Yayin Nesach, wine libations on the altar. Right? What's the significance of this? So one of the commentaries writes, the Yifat Toa wonders why the Medrash, what's special about it? I'm sorry. What's special about it? Why the Medrash speaks of the names of the proselytes being dear to God rather than the actual proselytes themselves. So he says, the proselyte, the convert, is dear to God, to Hashem, even though a proselyte's name is always mentioned without that of his father's household. Because when a person converts to Judaism, they're no longer legally bound to their parents. And not just legally bound, the whole point of converting, the whole point of becoming Jewish, is to actually disassociate yourself from the previous, you know, lifestyle and culture and religion, etc., that you came from. So it's a complete transformation. Hashem holds such a person in high esteem for his own accomplishments and does not look back at his roots. So it's a credit that this name is a brand new name and a brand new identity, not connected to previous generations, because you've charted your own course. And this, Yifas Tova adds, is why the proselyte is compared to wine libations, because wine libations is from the vine, and the wood of the vine is the most inferior of wood, has no value whatsoever, but it produces the wine for the libation. So precious, so special is the wine. The quality of a ger, a good ger, I mean, I guess a good ger, someone who genuinely converts in a proper fashion, a ger tzedek, their quality is so great and they're so special because they've really demonstrated over the fact that they've come under the Kanfei Shechina in the most starkest of ways, going from one extreme to the other extreme. So for this reason, the name, like the name of the ger, is very special. Names of Gerim are very special. That's what. But Bisya, she named Moshe, so this name was special in that respect. That's how the Medrash understands it. But one further explanation: Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the very famous Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir in the 1950s, 40s, 50s, 60s, etc. So he says in his famous work called the Sichas Musa. So he says the reason why Bisya perhaps is so, why Moshe is such a special name to Hashem, is because it expresses his mesiras nefesh. It's an expression not of his, sorry, of Bassius' mesiras nefesh, of his self-sacrifice, because she was going out on a limb. She was really going out on a limb. Her arm was extended like a long limb as well. That's what the Medrash says, miraculously. So she really went out. She was the self-sacrifice that she exhibited in saving Moshe is something which is essential, essential. Mesiras nefesh for Yiddishkeit, mesiras nefesh for mitzvahs, mesiras nefesh for other people. Mesiras nefesh in life is probably one of the most important values that a person has to have. Because without mesiras nefesh, you go nowhere. We don't go, we don't, what's mesiras nefesh? Self-sacrifice, self-sacrifice. going out on a limb, going the extra mile, stretching yourself beyond your limitations. That's what Mesiras Nefesh is. Moshe's name, Moshe, reminds us of going the extra mile, going beyond our comfort zone and sacrificing ourselves, sacrificing ourselves, sacrificing ourselves.
Vayikra.
Oh, the parsha of Vayikra, sacrifices. So it's very apropos that that midah is being highlighted at the very beginning of Sefer Vayikra, which is all about sacrifices. So the sacrifices of the karbanos, or the actual animal sacrifices, we know from the Ramban and other commentaries, the idea of a sacrifice is really a illustration or a representation of us sacrificing ourselves. Of us sacrificing, we can't sacrifice ourselves physically, but we can sacrifice ourselves in our behavior, in our actions, and in our service of Hashem. We can sacrifice ourselves. Sacrificing oneself means subduing the animal nature, subduing the laziness, subduing the desires, subduing the selfishness, subduing the animal nature. So when a person brings a sacrifice onto the altar, they are subduing the animal nature, because that's all it is, just an animal. So that animal's nature, which is being subdued and being consumed upon the altar for the service of Hashem, for the elevation of Hashem, is really is an emblem of us sacrificing our animal nature to come to Hashem. So the name Moshe is very appropriate to be the first name, to be the name highlighted. Vayikra Moshe, because Hashem starting Parshas Vayikra, the Parsha of Karbanos, of sacrifices. So he reminds us, you know why I like the name Moshe? Because he also was a person of self-sacrifice. He was a person of tremendous, he sacrificed his entire life for the Jewish people. And that's why the Parsha begins this way. But this doesn't explain why it doesn't say, and Hashem called Moshe. Just says, and he called Moshe, and then it says Hashem spoke to him. So where's Hashem? Why isn't Hashem mentioned at the very beginning in the first phrase? It should say, and Hashem called Moshe, Moshe, and Hashem called to Moshe, called him Moshe. So for this, we need the Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi is the commentary of the Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, very famous Hasidic commentary, and he says that perhaps there's a little bit of an allusion over here in the absence of Hashem's name being in this phrase. And he called to Moshe, maybe is reminiscent, actually is reminiscent of another pasuk where Hashem's name is missing as well. In the end of Parshas Mishpatim, at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, remember this, Mishpatim is all about civil law. But at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, it goes back to the narrative of the revelation. Although it's an out-of-order example, but the revelation, Har Sinai, is, or Mishpatim is sandwiched between two accounts, two narratives of the revelation at Sinai. So it goes back, the Torah goes back to recount the revelation of Sinai. And this is chapter 24. And it says, and this is how it begins. Vel Moshe Omar Alei El Hashem. And to Moshe he said, go up to Hashem. It's the same strangeness of the verse. And to Moshe he said, who's saying, who's speaking? Should say, and Hashem said to Moshe, come up to the mountain, come up to Hashem. Why is the subject missing in the verse? Vel Moshe Omar. And to Moshe, he says, so the Kedushas Levi says, based upon the Zohar, he says that it's alluding to the tremendous spirit and the energy or the spirit of the aspiration that Moshe had inside of his heart. His aspiration to go up, his aspiration to always climb higher, his aspiration to be more holy, his aspiration to be more spiritual, his aspiration to go up to Hashem. And therefore, what the Pasuk is perhaps alluding to is the Moshe's own neshama is saying to himself, go up. El Moshe Amar is neshama of this drive to always grow, always grow. Was saying to himself, go up, Moshe, go up, Moshe. So it's an expression really of Moshe's own neshama speaking, and also Vayikra as well. Vayikra El Moshe. He called to him, his neshama called to him, his neshama of wanting to come close. Call to Moshe. That's what called to Moshe. Of course, the simple pshat is Hashem's calling to him, but there's a little bit of a clue, an undercurrent, remez, allusion that what's really calling him is his own neshama, Moshe's neshama to connect to Hashem, Moshe's neshama to go up to Hashem, Moshe's neshama to be able to have a relationship with Hashem was calling to him to come close. And then what happens? Hashem speaks to him. So this is a tremendous lesson, right? That in our life. What is our neshama calling out for? What is our neshama call? So Moshe's neshama was calling out to go up to Hashem. Is my neshama calling out to go to Hashem? How much is it calling out, calling to go to Hashem? How much is there a voice inside of me calling out, I want to be connected to you, Hashem? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. How much is my neshama calling out? What am I, where are my desires? Where are my wants? Where are my aspirations? Moshe's aspiration was constantly going up, up, up. But I want to say, to combine that understanding with what we just said before with the Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, with the meaning of the word Moshe, Mesiras Nefesh, because you know what? There are many people, you know, there are a lot of people who have a lot of aspirations and a lot of drives, a lot of desire to be connected, a lot of desires to be connected. And it's a madrega, you know, halavai, more people should want to be connected. Most people are not connected. They don't want to be connected. They want to just, you know, make just enjoy physical life and material possessions. That's it. But a madrega, the next madrega up is now I want to be connected. I want to be connected to Hashem. I want ruchnis. I want spirituality. But you know what? Having that aspiration without mesiras nefesh doesn't work. Right? Having the aspiration to be connected is nice, is wonderful, and it's very beautiful. But unless it's coupled with mesiras nefesh, one's not going to get anywhere. Mesiras nefesh is taking that desire, that drive to be connected, and now taking action steps, actually taking steps, going out of the comfort zone. Wherever I'm at right now, wherever this line is, I'm used to doing this up until this point. This is teaching us that now that inner voice of wanting to connect to Hashem should be coupled with the name Moshe of Mesiras Nefesh. So that the pasuk could, again, it's a drush, it could be read as Vayikra, that the soul of drive, striving to be connected, should be coupled to the name Moshe of Mesiras Nefesh. Because only then do we succeed, because otherwise we just remain like, you know, we sit back on our couch and pontificate spirituality, desire spirituality, enjoy, you know, nice discussions about spirituality, but the buck stops there. And there's no Mesiras
I
Nefesh.
need to find.
Mesiras Nefesh has to now be, now that I take that desire and now go one extra, and whatever my next step is, whatever the beyond my comfort, and what for everyone is different, whatever everyone's, you know, line is different in terms of what their next step is. But unless we express Mesiras Nefesh, subduing our desire, subduing our wants, subduing our comfort levels, subduing the things we're used to, and then going the extra step to, with Mesiras Nefesh, that's only with that we have the response of Yidaba Hashem Elav, that Hashem speaks to us from the Ol Moed. So therefore, this is the, you know, that's what we learn from this. So we learn, right, the summary of this is to tap into that inner voice of that inner cry of connecting to Hashem, and couple it with Mesiras Nefesh of going the extra mile and doing more than what I'm doing right now and taking the next step. What's the next step? And this is a perfect time. We just started Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This is the month of Geula. And, you know, whatever you read, whatever you hear about, all, you know, all sorts of, I'm talking about now, spiritual commentaries, you know, prophetic commentaries about what's going on in the world. And there's a lot of things which are being spoken about, but we do know that in Nisan, the Jewish people were redeemed then, and in Nisan, the Jewish people were redeemed in the future. That's a medrash. It's a medrash says, but Nisan the Galu, but Nisan Asidin Goyal, in the future, are also going to be redeemed. So every Nisan is an opportune time for Gula, but it doesn't happen by magic. It doesn't happen by, like, just, you know, it takes us to create that Gula. And creating, like, it's not complicated. It really is not complicated. It doesn't require, you know, anything magnanimous, huge, and you know, it just requires taking the next step. Where's my next step in my journey of Judaism? What's the next step I need? That's Mesiras Nefesh. That's a carbon. That's the carbon. That's the carbon of Parshas Vayikra, of coming close, self-sacrifice to come close. Because I forgot to mention the word carbon is a sacrifice, but it really means to come close.
Close.
It's sacrificing yourself to come close to Hashem, sacrificing yourself to come close to Hashem. So that really actually dovetails even more nicely with this, because it's sacrificing yourself, self-sacrifice. That's the name of Moshe. That's why he was called Moshe. That's why Hashem liked Moshe the most. It's self-sacrifice for the sake of coming close. Vayikra, the inner voice of wanting to come close to Hashem, is what Moshe possessed, and that's what's in Vayikra Moshe. So maybe Zohar, let's take it to heart. Take it to heart. What's my next step? What is my next step? What's my next step in my Jewish journey of Aliyah, of growth towards coming close to Hashem?